Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my show. This is the 32nd part of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler, and I'm live on air, and hopefully this will stay that way without another Kremlin sneaking into our system. You are welcome to call in and comment on the subject I'm going to talk about or ask questions about it. You are more than welcome to ask any questions by email or give me any comments and suggestions. I will reply, as usual, within 48 hours. Just go to my website, http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you will find my email address, and then you can write to me. You will find also recordings of the latest 15 or so of my latest radio shows for you to listen to at your leisure. For all the other shows preceding those, you will find a link on my website that directs you straight to Blog Talk Radio's archives. I always look forward to your communication. They are very important to me. If you want to tell me about any problems you might have, let me know, and I will give you my best possible advice. Last week I spoke about self-actualization and leadership, communication and emotional intelligence. When talking about leadership, I more or less related the theme to leadership in business or some other organization. But most of the leadership qualities apply also to us as private individuals. If we have certain leadership qualities, we are also role models for others, for people in our social circle or for children. And one thing is certain, these qualities make us better people and also happier people. In this show, I will continue with the leadership theme and begin to discuss the other most important qualities a leader must have, other than communication and emotional intelligence. I will begin with ethics, something that is not only important for you as a leader, but also in all aspects of life. Then I will talk about values, honesty, integrity, decisiveness, and possibly a few other leadership qualities. Most people will agree that ethics have to play a role in business and therefore also in leadership. But this begs a rather interesting question. Whose ethics? Should we adopt Immanuel Kant's view, who in his categorical imperative says, and I quote, "Act only to that maxim whereby you can, at the same time, will that it should become a universal law," unquote. It sounds wonderful to me, but is it doable? Or should we lower Kant's standard? Let me make an attempt to answer the question about ethics, even if my answer can only be somehow unsatisfactory. Ethics is moral integrity. By definition, it prescribes rules and norms for human activities and shows how we ought to direct our actions. ethics not only direct us what to do if we want to be morally good, but indeed it obliges us to do good and to avoid evil. Every culture, every people, whether they live in highly developed countries or hidden away in some unexplored rainforest, have their own morality, their own prescriptions of conduct. Each individual is capable of establishing a code of moral standards and concepts which they can apply to every detail of their daily activities. These various individual standards and concepts are adapted and modified to benefit the majority of the people in a group, in a community, or in society. This is how society and interpersonal relations ideally function. Even though most people don't even consciously think about their own moral integrity, we all are confronted with it very often. For example, whenever we make a decision to do the right or the wrong thing, or whenever we have the choice between one or more rights. Often the question arises, what is the right thing to do and what is wrong? Another often relevant question is to either do the right thing, even though it may not be legal, or to do the wrong thing in order to not to do something illegal, or to do nothing, which also could be wrong or right. I give you two examples. You fill in a loan application form and you notice that you do not quite fulfill one of the bank's requirements. You decide that you are not going or are going to exaggerate your income because you say to yourself, honesty is an important principle for me. Or you say, if everyone would lie, who could we trust? You can say, it would be fraud, and if they found out, I will be prosecuted. Or you say, I need the money, and the end justifies the means. Here's another one. A colleague in your workplace is a single mother. One day she calls in sick and says that she will be off work for a few days. The following evening, you see her in a restaurant together with her child and a man. You decide to take action and report her to her boss, or not to take action and not report her to the boss, because you say to yourself, trust is a vitally important element in our business. You have to consider the well-being of all your colleagues. Lying about sick leave is fraud. Or you say to yourself, I don't care, it's not my business. When you decide how you would act in these situations, how would you feel about yourself? Whatever your action would be, it is being based on your principled consciousness. All your virtues, all your principles and values, such as righteousness, courage, fairness, kindness, all of that define your moral DNA. Whatever we do is based on our values and principles, which are certainly not the result of our rational thought processes, but are pure emotions. Therefore, it is our feelings that define our moral integrity. Can our moral integrity present us with difficulties? Yes, it can, because it may sometimes require us to sacrifice personal gain in order to do what we perceive to be the right thing to do. Or, very importantly, what happens if your moral standard comes into conflict with the interest of your organization or your business? Could it then be not so that decisions based on your moral integrity can limit your capacity to some degree to be a good leader? Are you going to sacrifice, at least to some degree, your moral standard for the benefit of your organization? Because if you don't, you could be regarded not suitable for leadership, a consequence that would greatly contribute to your displeasure, discomfort, and certainly to your unhappiness. Another aspect partly away from business leadership could be your social consciousness, your concern for the common good, and which also assists you in your interaction with others. But when we talk about the common good, typically we mean the majority of a group of people. What happens to the minority? Think, for example, about a minority ethnic or religious group which might be suppressed and exploited by the majority. We may be quite happy standing by and accepting the plight of the minority, and that's fine for our well-being. But what about those who want to stand up for the well-being of the suppressed and are quite happy to do so? We can, of course, say that if this is what makes them feel good, so be it. If these good people are then ostracized or even persecuted by the majority and suffer the consequences of their actions, then, well, then what? Is this just too bad, and that's it? Is it emotionally easier for those who are quite happy following rules and regulations laid down by society or their organizations and complying with what they are told to do? Perhaps it is so, because it provides us with an escape route. We could escape a moral dilemma by foregoing our principled consciousness in order to be safe and to comply with society's customs, rules, and regulations. We can do so quite easily by actively adjusting our code of ethics to whatever is required of us. This, of course, would be the easy way out, but is it the right way out too? Well, I told you in the beginning that my explanation won't be totally satisfactory. Let us now move on to leadership again and to the qualities that leaders must have. Bearing in mind what I earlier said about ethics, some of you might find it strange that some of the must-have qualities for a leader are trust, integrity, honesty, and values. Trust is an inherent part of leadership. Team members have to trust that leadership is serving everyone's best interest, and leadership has to trust that the team members are fulfilling their responsibilities. It is therefore imperative that leaders lead with integrity, honesty, and values. By taking on this role, leaders invoke trust and respect from their team. While it may seem odd to discuss your personal values, it will lead to increased respect and trust in your organization. Team members need leaders who are consistent and act predictably. By behaving according to your values, your team will have a better appreciation for you to make decisions. You will also be able to provide a framework for your team to utilize when they are making their own work decisions. The process of determining your values may not be as easy as it first appears. The first step is to examine which values are most important to you. These may pertain to how you feel people ought to conduct their business, such as teamwork, work ethic, and such like. Or it may involve concepts and ideas to which you personally attach importance, such as innovation, rapid response, customers, and such like. If you have problems prioritizing your values, try a brainstorming session with yourself. Write down as many of your values as possible in, say, 5 minutes. Then go back through and rank your values, choosing the top 3 to 5 as your focus. After you have decided your top values, the next step is to determine exactly what those values mean to you. It is not enough to merely tell your team your values, you must also give them your measures of those values. For example, don't just say I value teamwork. Offer guidelines on how teamwork can be demonstrated, such as no politics, be honest, don't go behind backs, and offer assistance when time allows. These specific measures help clearly define what teamwork means to you, leaving no room for confusion or misinterpretation. Now that you have clearly deciphered your values, the next step is communicating them to your team. And here are some tips for communicating your values. First, emphasize how your values will impact the organization. You must give your teams a bigger picture so they can see a direct connection between your value and the effect it has on the organization. For example, I value honesty because it will assist the organization in more accurate and less misleading communication. Emphasize that you will make decisions according to these values. This is especially important because it gives your team a guide for your behavior. This way, they can predict that the decisions you make will be based on your prioritized set of values and adjust their behaviors accordingly. Give brief examples of the meaning of the values. Do not merely recite the definitions you devised for each value. The definitions will be easier to understand if you can illustrate them with an anecdote, example, or story. Stress your expectations. At this point, stress that you expect certain standards based on your values. This way, they are able to understand the direct connection between your values and their jobs. Ensure understanding. In most cases, it is not enough to simply ask if your team understood your values. Ask them to paraphrase what you just have told them. This way you can straighten out any confusion before these ideas are entrenched. Even if you have many years supervising the same team, it is never too late to have this kind of conversation. One common mistake leaders make is to have this conversation once, and then let the significance die by never connecting to it again. This is not to say that you should give your values speech over and over and over again. Use everyday opportunities to reinforce your values by explaining the decisions you make and how they relate to your values. The more frequently you communicate your values, the more ingrained they will become in your team's minds. The most effective way to keep your values relevant and meaningful is to model your behavior to fit your values consistently. Now let us talk about integrity. Core values are defined as those things which we believe are the most important aspects of who we are and how we treat others. In leadership, our core beliefs about people and how we treat them will impact on how we manage them day to day. Effective leaders know that people need something fundamental from their leader in order to perform at their peak. Interestingly enough, core leadership values are not always expressed outwardly. In fact, leaders that go around saying, "I value integrity" all the time can be suspect to this very statement. Effective core values are working behind the scenes, like an operating system on a computer. You know it is working because the software applications are working. Core values are also like the foundation of a building. And like a building, our leadership ability is only as good as the foundation it is built upon. Every leader should ask themselves the questions: what are my core values? What kind of leadership values will create the most productive work environment where people will perform at their best? What fundamental leadership beliefs do I have about people that affect how I treat them and how I manage them? Without a good understanding of our core values, we will be less than effective leaders, doomed to suffer from mediocre leadership ability. So what do we do? Well, let's start by determining what our core value is and what it ought to be to promote positive leadership in the workplace. When you study great leaders, and you can probably list your favorites, You see one consistent character in each of them, integrity. Integrity is a stable force behind countless leadership role models. Great leaders model integrity by being honest and doing what is right, no matter the circumstances. Integrity requires you to make the right choice, even if you may not receive personal gain from the outcome, and to put your own personal agenda aside for the greater good of the organization and the people. Effective leaders know that people need a leader who has integrity. Without it, people are missing a vital ingredient in their ability to perform. Much like the foundation of a building, integrity is essential for lasting success and provides a work environment with three key qualities, and they are stability, safety, and reference. People who see their boss as honest and having a strong commitment to doing the right thing are assured that they work in an environment of stability. They know that the boss's integrity will not be shaken when tough decisions need to be made. Their boss will stick up for their employees and support them. They will treat people fairly and will be more willing to share information with their employees that is necessary for them to do their jobs. Conversely, a leader who is not upfront with people and hides behind their own deceit for their own self-protective purposes will create an environment of fear, uncertainty, and an atmosphere of everyone for themselves. These sorts of leaders are more prone to play favorites or other political games and leave their team to figure out the rules of engagement, all distractions to performance and productivity. Leaders with a strong foundation of integrity make it safer for their employees to perform at their peak. Leadership integrity gives people a sense of empowerment. A good leader knows that there is safety in providing people with the freedom to be open and honest. People know that there will not be retribution for their ideas and opinions. A good leader knows how to allow people this freedom while at the same time ensuring that it is done respectfully and appropriately. People who feel safe will perform better than people who do not feel safe. It is also the best ingredients for instilling an environment of innovation. How many times have we heard of an innovation that not only transformed a business but the whole industry? Good leaders know that ensuring an environment of safety encourages innovation. And with innovation comes transformation. Just like in a building, a leader's integrity forms a baseline that serves as a reference or measure. A leader with a strong foundation of integrity is a guiding light to those around them. Employees tend to emulate what their boss does. In a high-performing environment, leaders with integrity are the role models for others to see and to follow and to form the standards for how others ought to behave. So, a good question to ask yourself and your leadership team is, how much do we value integrity and how are we demonstrating it? It may not need to be said, but don't you think we have seen too many examples of leaders in our business world, particularly in the few last years, who lack integrity? Isn't it obvious what negative impact those leaders have on their people and their business and the world around them? If leadership is only as good as the foundation it is built upon, a leader must have a foundation that is steady as a rock. Having integrity in our workplace, leadership gives us this foundation. And with this foundation of integrity, a leader is ready to build their unique leadership style. There are some more qualities a good leader should possess, and one of them is a willingness to change. When we fear or resist change, we are actually caught up in the illusion that things remain static, that some things are unchanging. In our lives, everything changes. This is an awareness that can increase your level of integrity immediately. If you find yourself making plans or designing strategy based on something remaining static, that is a very good sign that you are a little out of integrity. Change is natural, and everything changes. Our minds change, our bodies, our relationships, things in our environment, just about everything. However, oftentimes leaders in business have to put it on themselves to facilitate change, to allow for changed circumstances, different environments, or other factors. Many people have studied the correlation between leadership skills and the ability of leaders to create organizational change. There are models of change, qualities of change managers, and opinions as to whether you are managing change or leading change. The findings conclude that leaders who are successful at leading change, the movers and the shakers, have both the intelligent quotient, the IQ, and the emotional quotient, the EQ, to successfully initiate and complete a needed change. And the not-so-secret formula is IQ plus EQ equals a leader who is a formidable change agent. Change agents have specific qualities and characteristics that made change happen at a faster rate than ordinary leaders. The blend of IQ and EQ occurs when leaders explore their emotions, internal needs, and what will give them the courage to lead in areas that are unknown. EQ is an essential component to being able to fulfill the additional responsibility that goes along with being a change agent. Self-awareness is a crucial element that's needed to handle tough challenges of adversity, to overcome resistance from others, and becoming the initiator and the spokesperson for change. It also provides consistency between what we say and what we do. So by looking within prior to leading change, a change agent, an excellent leader, establishes a foundation for building trust and respect that others need and expect. This level of leadership and self-insight is not an easy task and requires a determined resolve to knowing oneself. For example, to increase your EQ, ask yourself this question: am I curious and courageous enough to go after the unknown? This question helps us realize we may need to improve in our tenacity when dealing with uncertainty. A change agent is an initiator. They operate with a sense of curiosity and sensitivity to the concerns and hesitation of others instead of pretending they do not exist. Many people, when confronted with change, flee and hide below the surface with overwhelming feelings of fear and skepticism and discomfort. Understanding this, the change agent, the excellent leader, must recognize the fear and balance it with sensitivity and emotional intelligence. Strengthening the EQ prevents the change agent from wavering from his or her convictions. No matter the circumstance, a leader with a foundation of inner truth will not only survive a change, but thrive in its essence. You must also stop the spin on things. I hinted at it before, but because it is very important, I repeat it. Studies indicate that 83% of followers expect honesty from their leaders more than any other leadership characteristic. So, to be truthful, honest, ethical, are values that demonstrate that the leadership skills of integrity and credibility. If ethics and integrity are lacking in a change agent, a change will not occur. Conducting oneself in an ethical manner is essential to initiating any form of recommendation or proposal. Here's a key. Do others think that you are honest? If the receiver does not believe in the messenger, they will not believe in the message. It is a simple concept, but not easy in practice, as indicated by the frequency of very poor judgments and actions of very senior leaders in today's organizational environment. Envision the change. When the vision is understood and the leader is credible, followers are able to understand the purpose of the change and how they fit in. This fuels others to want to follow the plan of the change agent and makes the change a success. Purpose and vision helps the followers to cope with the proposed change. The change leader foresees a positive outcome. Followers envision how the change will work instead of being fearful of a lapse in judgment. This is not easily achieved. There are nagging naysayers that chip away at the expectations brought forth by the change agent. It is though through vision and through foresight that the change agent excels by demonstrating through his or her belief that the change will produce a positive outcome. This is the difference between being good and being great, between being a good leader and being a great leader. Grab the minds and the hearts of people. Change agents understand that by knowledgeable, connecting with others and thinking positive creates a call to action in which members can take action. Here's the fun part. The transition from a change agent's plan to a team's mission is in place. At this point, people involved in the change have team synergy, a call to action, and a can-do mindset. The formula of knowledge plus emotion assists the change agent to lead people and to implement change effectively. Decisiveness is another leadership quality, a very important one too. It is the ability to weigh all the facts and make a timely decision. To develop decisiveness, you should get into the habit of considering several points of view for each problem. Then make your best choice. You should know when not to make a decision. And you should remember that a good decision now is usually better than a perfect decision later. Demonstration of leadership competencies of leading change, business acumen, and setting strategic intent are based on sound decision-making and judgment. This is perhaps the softest part of leadership competency framework. Decision-making is a science as well as an art. It is a combination of hardcore number crunching, quantified analysis, managing ambiguities, and thinking from the gut. It talks about taking best possible decisions with inadequate information, having inadequate capabilities in less than predictable future, and overall within an imperfect world. A decision delayed is a decision denied. A leader owns the decision he takes. There's no best way to take decisions. Leaders can have different decision-making styles. However, there are some common traits which do result in better decisions. Decision-making is needed to be followed up with appropriate action to translate the decision to outcomes. A great leader makes sound decisions and takes actions when necessary, even with incomplete data. One either does not have enough information or does not have the time to get the complete data for taking decision. Given the speed of change and hyper-competition, a leader will have to take a cap on when he has to take a decision. A leader generally does not have the time to wait endlessly for more and more information. A leader makes the best of the available information, tops it with the opinions of the experts, his experience, and finally uses his judgment to make the decision. A leader is flexible also on decision making. A leader is able to adjust his decision making style depending on the situation. This is rather a rare quality in leaders. A leader will spend less time on routine decisions and decisions with little consequence. He will be more detailed on strategic decisions. He will take faster decisions when needed by making assumptions and with calculated risk. A leader takes initiative to address opportunities when they arise. A leader has to be an opportunist in a positive sense. A leader not only grabs an opportunity, but is also ready for it in terms of skills and also capability. A leader encourages and empowers others to make decisions. A leader develops a decision-making strength and the ownership that goes with it down the levels. The practice of leader takes a decision and the team implements is becoming less relevant as it adds drag to an organization. A leader will gradually delegate the decision-making to lower levels along with appropriate control mechanisms in place. A leader will provide the empowerment to people to take the decisions and then will stand by them for the decision taken. A leader coaches others in effective decision making. A leader ensures that his team understands the decision making methodologies, techniques, and principles. He encourages them to develop capabilities related to analysis, alternative development, information gathering, building appropriate assumptions, and so on and so on. A leader is ready to take tough decisions. Leadership is about taking tough and sometimes unpopular decisions. A leader will drive his decisions with a high sense of conviction. He will engage people around the decision. Even if he does not get the support from all quarters, he will work with perseverance to drive the actions related to his decision. A leader understands that one has to adopt different decision-making styles, ranging from an executive decision to consensus-based decision-making, depending on the task at hand. A leader ensures contingency, a mid-course correction for risky decisions. A leader stays alive to the risk, linked to the decision, as well as the softness of the assumptions linked to the decision. He builds a plan B and a plan C if needed, and invokes the same at the right checkpoint. He also keeps on watching the validation of the assumptions, and if any of the assumptions don't bear out in reality, he fine-tunes his decision. Initiative is recognizing what must be done and then doing it without having to be told to do so. This is a trait to be developed not only in ourselves, but also in our subordinates. People who show initiative often do so by spotting and acting on opportunities that their colleagues or leaders have not noticed. They are curious about the organization and how it works, and they keep their minds open to new ideas and new possibilities. You should always be on the lookout for areas in your organization that could use improvement. To spot opportunities and potential improvement, consider the following. What would your customers want us to improve? What could they be doing better if we could help them? How can we improve quality? Who else could we help by using our core competences? What small problems do we have that could grow into bigger ones? What slows our work or makes it more difficult? What do we often fail to achieve? Where do we have bottlenecks? What is frustrating and irritating to people in our team? get into the habit of looking for these things. Perhaps set a repeating appointment in your diary to remind you to look out for them. And when things go wrong, think about how you can fix them. Check your ideas. Imagine that you have come with a creative way of breaking through a bottleneck in your customer service process. Before you go ahead with your idea, stop and do some homework. Think about the costs and risks associated with the idea. Make sure that you follow this through by doing your homework on the idea. The more you have researched and considered your ideas, the higher your chances of success will be. Develop also rational persistence. Persistence is the art of moving forward even when you encounter inertia or difficulty. People who show initiative often encounter difficulties and setbacks along the way. So rational persistence, where you listen to, consider, and appropriately modify your direction depending on other people's input, is essential if you want to achieve what you have set out to achieve. When you are persisting with your idea, you will find things much easier if you learn how to manage change effectively. This can often make the difference between success and failure for a project. It's also helpful to learn how to open closed minds, since people may already have an opinion on a subject before you even start presenting your idea. Let's talk a bit about creativity. Creativity is essential in remaining relevant in a business world now characterized by fast pace and rapid change. It is needed to stay ahead of competition that has become more and more global and more cutthroat. It is needed not only to solve problems, but to see ahead clearly enough to identify opportunities that others may be missing. Truly innovative leaders have the ability to see connections across data, ideas, concepts, and past experiences. They can then see the patterns and project forward, developing even better ideas and solutions. Innovative leaders question conventional thinking and constantly develop different and sometimes even radical ideas about how something can be done better. They do more than merely look straight ahead for the obvious and instead look at all angles. By always questioning, they develop other mental traits such as observing, sorting, and recognizing patterns. They experiment, they are curious, and they have a love for learning. By their example, they very often establish a culture of learning in their own organization, which can also serve as a creativity multiplier. Creative leaders do have some innate ability in understanding and solving problems. Many have strong imaginations and a healthy sense of self that often provide them with a high tolerance for risk-taking and a lower fear of failure. Some are non-conventional, requiring less social approval than many others. So, can leadership creativity be developed and nurtured? I believe so, yes. Consider the following suggestions, but I'd rather leave that for next week because I just recognize that I am running out of time. So let's come to the end of this show and leadership next week again. Thank you for listening. Go to my website mindmattersonline.info and let me know what you think about this series or ask me any questions you like to ask. I will reply within 48 hours. For now, I leave you with wise words by Nelson Mandela, and I quote, "It is better to lead from behind and to put others in front, especially when you celebrate victory when nice things occur. You take the front line when there is danger. Then people will appreciate your leadership." Unquote. Tune in again next week, same day, same time. Goodbye.